Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Daddy. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Can we take a moment and thank him that we're saved today? Can we just give him glory? The team's going to do one more song, and if you want to stand, you can. If you want to be seated, that's fine. But we're going to give God praise and give him glory and give him honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, and we give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah.
Continue to praise him, but we're going to take up an offering today for the glory and honor of the Lord. Father, bless as we give to you, Jesus. Father, this is a very important part of our lives, giving to you. Everything we have is yours, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, as we continue to praise you, that you will receive our gifts, and that, Lord, you would be honored in our giving. For, Lord, really what it is it's a matter of lordship. That if you are Lord of our life, everything we have is yours. And so, God, we don't give begrudgingly today. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you for our businesses. We thank you for our health. We thank you for strength. We have not done this. We have not earned our living in and of ourselves. It's been by your grace, your mercy, your strength, and your provision. And I pray that the righteous will not be forsaken, nor their seed out begging bread. But you give more than enough to your children that we might use it for your kingdom purposes. So bless the gifts of your people. And God, we give you the praise in our giving in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's just continue to praise it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
You go before me. You shield my way. Your hand upholds me. I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
Father, you, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Come on, just take a few moments here. Come on, let's just fill this place. I'm not asking you for it to be emotional. I just want us to give him true praise and true glory and true honor. Father, we worship you today, Lord. God, we love you. Father, we'd be nowhere without you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, Father. We give you glory. Father, we don't want to come into your house and just go through the motions, Lord. Every plan that we've had today to honor our kids, to honor our teenagers and our youth and our parents and our grandparents has all been predicated on honoring you. God, we have received these elements, oh God, not because we're worthy, but because you paid the price and you cleansed us from our sins so that we can be recipients of your love. And God, I pray today, as your word goes forth, somehow would you hide your servant behind the cross. Somehow, Lord, with my mannerisms or my style of teaching or preaching, God, somehow could that be pushed to the side. God, I'm asking for a miracle today. I'm asking that the word, Jesus, while the word is being preached, will go up and down the aisles of this assembly, will infiltrate the hearts of the youngest to the oldest, oh God. And then, Lord, you would captivate our minds and our hearts and our spirits. Then, Lord, we would purpose to serve you like never before. God, I pray that the results will be eternal and that, Lord, my prayer also is that you would receive the preeminence and you would receive all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you so much, worship team. We appreciate it. We understand that a lot has been packed in a short period of time, but it's all so vitally important for the kingdom of God. And I understand we have the kids with us today, and we're just elated by that. And we have been doing a study, actually, preaching a series from the book of Malachi. And if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Malachi chapter 4. I thought about, well, should I scratch this chapter and teach and preach on something a little different, being that the kids are here? Sometimes we minimize how important and how understanding these kids are. I mean, they have communion out back. They just have drawn close to the Lord. They receive the Word of God. And you know what? Sometimes maybe some of the kids might know more than we do. Well, I know some that think they do, but no, I'm just kidding. but no, I'm so grateful for the goodness of the Lord. I wanna just wrap this particular study up in Malachi chapter 4, and we're gonna go verse to verse of sorts, but I need to get you caught up. Malachi means messenger. And we need to understand the context of this, that actually the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, had been in captivity, in Babylonian captivity, and they had just come back in three stages. If we're to understand the book of Malachi, we need to read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra the scribe, Nehemiah the wall builder. We want to be wall builders, and yet there are some walls we need to build. And how many know there's some walls that God needs to tear down in our lives? So this is a little bit of the history, and there was a great problem here. It seemed like the Jewish people at this particular time seemed to be questioning God on a regular basis. Things were really messed up in church. The leaders were messed up. The followers were messed up. And most all of them were messed up
because they had compromised the things of God and the Word of God. The priests were not preaching and teaching the Word of God. They were showing partiality. They were afraid if they were to do this, what the repercussions would be. Does this sound a little bit like where we're at today in America, where we're living? Where sometimes I think some preachers are afraid that if they preach the truth in love, that they might empty the church out rather than filling it. But I would rather speak the whole counsel of God than to tamper with God and have to stand before Him because I candy-coated His Word and didn't give the full gospel. So this was the problem. And you know what? Not only was it a problem that they weren't speaking the truth, it was a problem that they were not living the truth. And matter of fact, they had their wives that they had for some years, and we studied a couple chapters ago of how they kind of cashed those wives in and they wanted younger ones, and how that we had talked about the importance of marriage and that wherever you are in life, whatever has happened to you, that marriage that you're in right now, preserve it, protect it. Pray over your husband. Husbands, pray over your wives and the children and to maintain unity in the family. How many know that one of the greatest attacks of Satan himself is to destroy the family? So wherever you are in life, you know, you can't look back. You can't change the things that, you know, is there anybody in the house today that would like to change some things in your life? All right, I got about 10 that are honest. The rest of you are not honest. Come on, there's not one of us here that would not like to change some of the decisions that we have made that have not always been good decisions. But thank God that He knows all about that. And then we also talked about that if we really love God with all of our heart, that we'll want to serve Him and be obedient to Him in all aspects of life. Now remember, not only were the Israelites falling into to all kinds of things, but the latter part of the chapter, about midway of last chapter, remember they were questioning. You know, it's okay to question. God can handle it as long as we have faith and trust in Him. And as long as those questions are legitimate. There's not a question God cannot handle. But they were questioning His validity, His truthfulness. They were kind of saying, well, listen, why is it, of course, we never do this, why is it that it seems like the unrighteous, the ones at work, the people that are so far from God, at work, at school, college, wherever, it just seems like everything they touch turns to gold. And why is it that as soon as I commit my life to Jesus Christ, because we never ask those questions, right? That when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, it seems like the unrighteous are doing better than we're doing. But you see, God also spoke to them and said, listen, I will honor those who honor me. I will bless those who bless me. Come on, church. And I will even set up a book of remembrance that if you fear God, revere God, love and respect me, I will have a book of remembrance. And trust me, I will not forget your trust in me. Can I say something? God keeps the books. God keeps the books. He knows who is serving Him today and who isn't serving Him. And we truly want to serve Him. Now, this last chapter has really, you know, kind of a double connotation, a couple thoughts too. Remember in chapter 3 and even before that, how that this messenger, Malachi, was talking about another messenger. See, actually, this is the last book of the Old Testament. It's like somebody announcing, listen, there's going to be a forerunner and there's going to be a Messiah, and that's wonderful, but you got to wait 400 years. I don't know about you. There's some things I just don't like waiting for. So remember we talked about the forerunner? Who is the forerunner of Jesus Christ? John the Baptist. And then the Messiah himself, Jesus. So this is closing out and is speaking prophetically of what's going to happen after 400 years. Now we move into chapter 4, where no longer are we talking about just John the Baptist and Messiah. Jesus came once to His temple, and He's coming back again. And it's not going to be John the Baptist, it's going to be the forerunner. It is going to be a prophet of God. It's going to be Elijah. Many believe Elijah and Moses that are going to be the two witnesses that are going to be coming to a particular area during a particular time. And we'll get into that a little bit, and how that God sends them there, and that He uses them to speak to those who are still around, and the Antichrist is in rule, and he is trying to do all of his things, and God raises up Elijah, and He raises up many to believe Moses. You know, there's some other opinions, but most believe Elijah and Moses because of the criteria of the Scripture. He raises them up to preach against sin and to be used mightily during that great tribulation time. Now listen to me. Don't miss this. I believe the rapture of the church is very close at hand. I would be a false prophet if I tried to put a date on it. But listen, this has got to be the last of the last days. We've exceeded Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? I mean, it is crazy today what has happened. It is ridiculous what has happened. And the only reason I believe why God hasn't taken His church out of this mess is because He still wants people to come to know Jesus as Savior. So let's get into this, and we'll get back to this a little bit. But it's very important as it opens up and unfolds. The final resolution to the wicked. Look at verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. It goes on to say, the day is coming, discouraged by the apparent prosperity of the wicked and the uselessness of serving the Lord. They felt God's people needed to be reminded that the day is coming. They were argumentative. They were upset because it seemed like the unrighteous were getting more than they were getting. And so they really were looking at God as a God of injustice. God always prepares us for the day that is coming. Did you hear me? There is a day coming. There is a day coming when God is going to call the church out of this mess. There's a day coming when there's going to be 7 years of tribulation that's going to be divided into two. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to be peaches and cream and, you know, nice things. And then the latter 3 years of the great tribulation, Jacob's trouble, is going to beggar description what's going to happen. And this is the time that these two witnesses are going to be brought into an area where they're going to talk about the woes and talk about the judgments, and they're going to be martyred, and for 3.5 days their bodies are going to lie in the street. And they don't feel like they want to bury them because they've been calling all these woes and all these things happening to the unbelievers at that particular time. But miraculously, God's going to pour life in them. And before all the world, they're going to be resurrected. You say, God, I don't know if you can do that. Listen, shame on you if you say that. God can do anything but fail. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's a day coming. Listen, you might be sitting in this church today saying, I'm fine, I'm okay, I got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you have. There's a day of judgment coming. I understand, I'm speaking on this sequentially, so I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. This is where we are in this study. There is a day that is coming. There's a day that is coming where every one of us, small, little, medium, all shapes and sizes, are going to have to stand before Almighty God and give an account of our life. You can fool Pastor Mark and Pastor Wayne, and I can fool you, and we can fool everybody else, but whose fool will we be if we don't accept and follow and love God with all of our heart and lead others to come to know Him? There's a day coming. God is warning us of that day so that we could get our lives straight. And you say, well, Pastor, that makes me afraid. There's a difference between being afraid and embracing the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is I love God and I respect Him so much that I don't want to live outside His will. That I want to make sure that I follow Him with all of my heart. And this is very important. God still has eternity to right all the wrongs and to reward all the good. Now, some of you are fussing. Some of you are fussing because it seems like you're not getting your rewards now. Can I tell you, payday isn't now, payday's later. I don't want my rewards now. It was even humbling for us to, you know, and if you're interested and you're here and you really feel this is your place and you want to be a member, we just started membership classes. It's not too late to join this Thursday at 6:30, but we had our 10, 12 people going around, getting to know one another, and it was humbling to me to hear them say, I was so proud of the fact to hear them say, you know, when I came through these doors, people didn't have speckled nose. They didn't look up. They didn't judge me. They didn't do this or that. I felt welcomed. I felt loved. I feel like you love us, Pastor. I feel like the people here love us. We're here. We feel like God wants us here. And one after one began to share. And they said, listen, we want to move it up a step. We want to become more involved in what God is doing. It was just such a night that I had my head down, not in shame, but I said, it's only the grace of God. If God's doing anything in this place, it's not because of Wayne Hartsgrove. It's because of the power and the presence of and the magnitude of the Lord Jesus Christ touching every heart and life. And it's Him that we live up, and it's Him that we honor, and it's Him that we give the glory to. Hallelujah. Unless He builds it, they that labor in vain. And listen, the problem that the Jewish people were dealing with was pride. Pride goes before what? If God ever uses us, the praise needs to go back to Him. So we'll burn like an oven. God promised a fire for His people. Look at Malachi 2:2-3. And here He promises a fire for the wicked. Now you got to understand, I know we got kids here, but listen, they have been taught this, maybe they might know a little bit more about this than you and I, that this world that we live in is not going to be destroyed by a flood like it was. Remember that rainbow, that covenant? God is a covenant keeper. Come on, church. God is not a covenant breaker. We're covenant breakers sometimes, but God is a covenant keeper. This world is going to be destroyed by fire. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. 17a, as much as Gail and I appreciate God's provision, that being our home, because there's a difference between a house and a home. Amen? Some people have a house, but they don't have a home. A home is where God is and where He's the center and where He's honored and glorified. So this is going to happen. You say, well, I don't believe that. Listen to me. You don't have to believe this preacher, but you need to believe the Word of God. There is a judgment day that is coming, and we're all going to have to stand before God. Now, there's a difference between the refiner's fire for the Christian and the lake of fire for the non-Christian. If I had my rathers, I'm taking the refiner's fire. Because you know what comes to the top? Gold. Silver, purified, and refined. But if it's a lake of fire, there is no exit sign. And that's where that individual is going to spend eternity. We love God so much. And we love people so much that we cannot be quiet on that. We cannot hide our light under a bushel basket. We need to be salt and light. It says it's burning like an oven. All who do wickedly will be stubble. Now, you might have some farmers here this morning. I don't know. But stubble is the unusable part of grain, and it lasts only a moment. If you take stubble and you throw it in the fire, immediately, it will burn up. Remember that? Hay, wood, and stubble burn very easily. But you and I who are precious to God, when we go through the fire of affliction and the fire of difficulty, He takes away all the impurities. And that fire, the refiner's fire, is to cause us to be on fire with none other than the Lord God Almighty. But the other fire that burns forever is something that we want to avoid. So leave them neither root nor branch. See that in Scripture? In that coming day, the wicked will have no hope of shooting up again to life. As long as a root remains there, there is hope. But hope is gone for those because judgment, the judgment for eternity, is final. Now listen, if I was a vine grower and I had to prune that vine, if I were to prune that vine, then somebody could take which I have pruned, and if they really know how to do it, they could put it in the soil and it could grow again. But it says when this is all said and done, there's not going to be any roots. There's not going to be anything to plant. There's not going to be any root or any branch. And that's important. Look at verses 2 and 3. We talked about in the first few verses the final resolution for those who are wicked, for those who refuse. Listen to me. I love you with all of my heart. God has placed a love in my heart for this church and this community like I've never known it before. It burns inside of me. Am I perfect in that? No. But when I say that, it's not sloppy agape. I mean that. I mean that God is causing us to dwell together in harmony and unity so that we might reach out and we might be effective in this society, in this world. And I don't want anything to separate that. So we have this blessed hope that we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. So look at me today. I love you with all of my heart, but if you're here and you're mamby-pambying around, if you think you're fence climbing, there is no such thing as a fence. Either in this particular aspect, either we're on the broad road that leads to destruction or we're on the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. Come on, church, that's true. So I would say to you today, if you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ, I'm not even asking you to join New Life. I'm not asking you to join the Assemblies of God. I'm not even asking you to join the Pentecostal movement. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? It's far better to know Him and be in the refiner's fire. And some of us complain, don't we? Oh God, I can't stand it. Why am I going through all this? So He's burning away the imperfections. I want the refiner's fire. I don't want the opposite. And I don't want it for you. You say, but Pastor, I have plenty of time. Oh, you do you? What happens if you were to take your last breath here? I don't think people get up in the morning saying, well, I'm going to plan on dying today. See, whether we go by the undertaker or the upper taker, I want to be ready. Come on. You say, well, this is hard. No, it's not hard enough. God loves us. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And don't stop there, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God's refining in the Christian. But this first few verses talk about the wicked. Those who refuse service after service. Altar call after altar call. It's for the young person. That's one thing in church, another thing in school. It's for the little kids. It's for the adults. It's for the men, for the women. That we shout God and we get all excited. And then we're out in the world and we live like the devil. That's not what God wants. He wants us to come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and to say, God, whatever purification you need to do, do it in me. And help me to have your love so I can give you a message of hope to people so that they won't be in eternity without you. So I implore you. I don't beg because God doesn't want me to be a beggar. When I got saved, He transformed me into a believer. But I'm believing for your salvation today. See, you're not saying no to me, and I don't whip up an altar service and try to have a big emotional frenzy. Unless the Spirit of the Lord calls you, you will not be called. I can't save you, but He will. And we have no ABC prayer to lead you in. It's repentance. What is repentance? It's a true sorrowfulness for sin. God, I'm sorry, whether I got caught or I didn't get caught. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. So for heaven's sake, avoid that fire of judgment on Judgment Day and receive Jesus Christ today. The resolution for the righteous. But to you who fear, here it is, the fear of God. Oh God, help people behind the pulpits, help teachers and preachers to preach and teach the fear of God. The fear of God is the reverential respect, the awe of God. I respect Him. I respect Him. I love Him with all of my heart. But unto you that fear my name, the Son. Now it says S-U-N, talking about the Son, but you could put S-O-N, because the Son of righteousness arises with healing in His wings. Amen? I believe His wings are spanning all over this place to heal sick bodies and to raise up people. I'm praying even during the preaching of the word, people are going to cry out, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. The Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go out and grow fat. Like fat-fed calves. Now, my dad worked on a couple farms, so I can really relate to this. When you take a calf that's put in a little stall and roped right there, and you let that calf free, what a time of jubilation that is. I've seen that, man. You try to catch a calf after they've been stalled up, and you just let them free, and they're frolicking all around, jumping, just joyful to be free. That's what freedom in Christ does. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm looking at some fat people today. I said, I got your attention. I'm looking at some fat people today. And you're looking at a fat preacher today. How are we fat? Spiritually. Don't you feel blessed today? Don't you feel spiritually fat, not flat? I mean, we've got CDs, we got DVDs, we got music coming out of our ears. I mean, we've got all the technology that I never, ever, ever thought. If my grandmother would be alive today, man, she would she would have a time. But look what the scripture says. It talks about that. It says, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. But to you who fear my name, to you who revere my name, to you who respect my name, to you who honor my name, to you who lift up my name, to you that Jesus at one time was just nothing more than an ordinary, I don't care word. It was a swear word. But now, every time we hear someone take Jesus' name in vain, something inside of me rises up, and right then I praise him. Someone takes his name in vain, I'm going to praise it. Because that name is higher than any other name. To those who fear your name. In the previous verse, God promised a judgment of fire for the proud. For the proud. But God says that those who fear my name shall be saved. Those who revere my name. I respect him. I love Daddy. I love the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't come waltzing into church with my gum, man, just, you know, just meandering into the house of God. This is holy ground where we are today. Hallelujah. We're in God's house. And I know that we're outside of God's house more, but listen, I know that we didn't get any of the building materials from Israel, or we don't have any of this special oil from over to Israel, but I know that when we get into the presence of the Lord, where he is, there's liberty, but there's also reverence and respect, that we love him, we honor him. Hallelujah. We revere him because he's to be honored, and he's to be exalted, and he's to be lifted up. The Son of Righteousness, who arises with healing in his wings. Said, those who fear my name. In the previous verse, God promised judgment, but those who fear my name, listen, turn to your neighbor. If you fear God, you will be saved. If you fear God, you will be saved. Those who fear God can be saved. Who love him, who revere him, who respect him. And that's important. In many passages, God is related to a planet or a star. Look at, in Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who seek him uprightly. So God is bright. His brightness is incredible. It's illuminating. Revelation chapter 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the what? The bright, the brilliant, bright morning star. Excuse me. Yes. He's brilliant. He's bright. We talk about the glory of God. If the glory of God ever hit Chicopee Street or 157 Dartmouth Street, there would be absolutely no offering, no preaching, no collection, no singing. We'd be on our faces before God, not being able to even move. That his presence and his glory would be so strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here the Messiah is not only the Son, but also the Son of Righteousness, who arises with healing in his wings. Listen to me, church. He's still the healer. He's still the healer. Hallelujah. Listen, they bring healing and joy and wholeness. The healing in his wings. There's brilliance in Christ. And he brings healing. When the Son of Righteousness shines, we need no other light. We need no other warmth. Imagine trying to light a candle on a sunny day. How dumb is that? We can't outdo his brilliance. We can't outdo his glory. Hallelujah. That makes as much sense as trying to improve the work of Jesus for us in our own righteousness. It won't happen. It won't happen. With healing his wings, you shall trample the wicked. When God's people see the final resolution of all things, they would be so happy they will jump about like stall-fed calves set free from the pen. And as they jump about with joy, the wicked are trampled beneath their feet. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, if you've been stalled up and pinned in sin all your life, and you've been set free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We have no right to be sad if we've been set free. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understand the figure here, the calf in the stall, shut up, tied up with a halter all night. But when the sun rises, the calf goes forth into the pasture. Hallelujah, and he's free. So the child of God who's in bondage, when we are set free, we are free. We're no longer under that sin. How many are glad you're no longer living the life you're used to life? Partying. Listen, the greatest party is yet to come, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And that's important for us to understand for sure. And you shall go out and you shall grow fat. That's like God wants to prosper us, and you shall trample the wicked. The joy of the Lord gives us victory. And then look at verse 4. Remember the laws of Moses. I'm almost done. Remember the laws of Moses, my servant, which I commanded here in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and judgments. Remember the law of Moses. In these last few prophetic words of the Old Testament, Malachi warns Israel to remember the law because God's prophetic voice would be silent for more than 400 silent years. Remember what I've taught you. Listen, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. I'm not going to forget what he's done for me. And listen, as I look over this handsome crowd today, I say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He is a marvelous God, isn't he? Thank God that the redeemed of the Lord can say so. But this even gets better and better. The last words of the Old Testament, call back to the law. Because under the Old Testament, man was related with God on the basis of the law. But thank God in the new covenant. Listen to this. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We're in the dispensation of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm here by the grace and mercy of God. And so aren't you. Amen? Do you believe in God's grace? I believe in God's grace when I look at you, and you believe in God's grace when you look at me, because it's this grace that we're here. Hallelujah. Look at 5 and 6. Elijah will come. Behold, I will send you Elijah. Remember, in the prior chapter, the prelude to that, the forerunner was going to be John the Baptist, and the Messiah was coming. Now it's talking not about John the Baptist. Oh, John had the characteristics of Elijah, and you can prove that in Scripture. But talking about Elijah that is coming on that great and dreadful day. And we know that Elijah's prophecy is only completely fulfilled before the second coming. Let's look at Revelation 11. You can read the whole chapter. But it says, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing for the Lord on the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. Listen, we know that who called down fire in the Old Testament? Elijah. Who, through God's instruction, helped all those plagues to happen? Moses. In this great tribulation time, there are going to be 7 plagues and 3 woes that are going to take place. in this whole area of 7 years. Say we have 7 billion people here on planet Earth. Four of those during that 7 year time. One will die. At one foul swoop at an earthquake, 70,000 people lose their lives. So you want to wait until then to be saved? Okay. If you want to wait for the 144,000 faithful Jewish people that will preach to you during that time and you don't take the mark of the beast, then you could be saved. But I'm going to take my chances right now and serve God and be right with him right now. Amen? And that's really what they're saying. I could go into so much here, but I don't want to take the time. In anticipation of this, Jewish homes, listen to this, Jewish homes, Jewish people believe in this so emphatically. That they will set a place at the table for Elijah at the Passover, just in case he might come on that night to announce the news that the Messiah will come. They have an empty chair and the cup that is filled, but never drank from as a testimony to their anticipation of Elijah coming. That's how much they anticipate his coming. Elijah the prophet. Why Elijah? Because he ministered in a time of crisis in Israel. You could take Exodus 3:1, 1 Kings 19, 8 through 18, Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Revelation 11, and you'll see all of that there. Then let's just wind this down. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to his children. John was like a type of this when he came, that in essence the hearts of the fathers could be turned to the children, and the children to the hearts of the fathers. But during this time, the great tribulation, the last part of the 7 years, hearts are going to be turned. There will still be those who will have opportunity to receive him. Beloved, God always gives us opportunities to receive him. We have just got to have enough common sense to say, God, I'm going to stop running. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you 100%. Every head bowed, please. Eyes closed. No one looking around. He said, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The Old Testament ends with a threat of a curse, but also with the expectation of a new dawning of the Son of Righteousness, who's going to arise with healing in his wings. This ending of the book of Malachi, it bothers many ancient Jews. Listen very carefully. The Masoretes, who have given us most of the copies of the Hebrew Old Testament, were so bothered by this that they repeated the next to the last verse of Malachi after the last verse, so that they would somehow see that in the essence, it wouldn't close with a curse, but it would close with a blessing. I want to take my last breath, not under a curse. I want to take it under a blessing. He said, the end of the New Testament recognizes the rising of the Son of Righteousness. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you all. And I close with this scripture in Revelation 22:21. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, we got to choose. Stand to your feet, please. I tried to abbreviate this as much as I could. We got to make a choice today. If we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, then let's sell out to him lock, stock, and barrel. Amen? Are you with me? You still living? Still breathing? If we're not, then we need to get right with God today. I didn't even realize it, but it was about a week or two ago. We had a young boy that's grown up in this church. I didn't find out until afterwards because I had altar workers here, and I went out and greeted. Somebody said to me, and I won't say their name, I don't want to embarrass them, said that this young boy had recommitted his life to Jesus Christ. You know why? He understood God's grace, received God's grace. Today, listen to me, young person, child, middle-aged, adult, older individual, regardless of your age, regardless of your affiliation, today is the day to serve the Lord. It's not the day to compromise. It's the day to come out from among them to be separate and let our yeses be yeses and our noes noes. Amen? That we need to be men and women of integrity, men and women of the truth, because I want the refiner's fire. Thank you. I don't want to be a part of that other fire. I want to be ready. Every head bowed, please, and eyes closed. No one looking around. I'm going to make an altar call. Going to make it really simple. I'm going to make it as plain as I can. If you're here today and you know in your heart, maybe not, maybe someone else might not know, maybe your mom might not know, maybe your dad might not know, maybe your friend might not even know, but you know that if Jesus Christ were to cause the rapture to take place right now, and everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain should be caught up in the clouds of glory, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, then we're going to come back. We're going to be able to rule and reign with Him. There's going to be a new heaven wherein dwells righteousness, and spend eternity with Him. But you know, I'm just not ready, Pastor. But I want to be ready today. Just slip your hand up real quickly. Just slip your hand up. I'm just going to wait for a second. I trust everybody in this auditorium this morning is ready. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for your word. Father, we don't have to make any apologies for it, Lord. I don't have to stand up here and have a hellfire and brimstone with no hope message. But I do have to stand up here and say that there is a refiner fire that we must prefer over the lake of fire. And even though it might seem like some of those that were around might be prospering more than we are, but they get their reward one day, and we will get our reward one day, and it will be a much different reward. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to draw closer to you than we ever have before. Certainly we haven't exhausted the book of Malachi, but it's that last book of the Old Testament before the 400 silent years to introduce you who have come and who has ascended on high and who's coming back again. Father, if ever there needs to be a group of people that's ready for your coming, it needs to be the church. And Father, you said that judgment begins in the house of God. So Father, I ask that you purify my heart. You purify this church until that which remains is pure and holy unto you. And for those who come through these doors, let us love them. But let us never, never, ever compromise the truth. Everyone is welcome at Calvary. All ground is leveled there. But it's so important that we repent and turn from our wayward ways and turn to the living God. Father, have your way. These altars are going to be open if people just want to come and spend some time in prayer, or if they just want to ponder in their heart that which has been spoken and take it home. God, be with them, I pray. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for saving us and setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're at liberty. These altars are open. Thank you for being patient. Thank you. God bless you.